In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I felt in my spirit that I had to go back on some of the happenings of Jesus. I didn't do a very good job, but I'm trying to look at the Syrophoenician woman's faith. And from there, Jesus arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. But Jesus could not be hidden. They all knew where he went. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Jesus and came and fell at his feet. This is faith. The woman was a Greek, she's a pagan, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought Jesus that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. This is Jesus' response. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread." What is the children's bread? Healing and deliverance are your bread. "And to cast it unto dogs." So Jesus called the woman a dog because she wasn't a Jew. And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." This is faith. This is faith. And he said unto her for this saying, "Go your way, the devil is gone out of your daughter." I tell you, it seems like Jesus was crass with this woman, but he needed to say that, and she came up with this experience of faith. "I will be a dog, and I will just take the crumbs from the table, because I came for my daughter." You know, I know when people come to me, mother come to me with their child, they want to see that child healed. They do anything to get that child healed. And the only thing I can do is to pray and believe. Now we go on and see, when she had come to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Jesus, you can call anyone a dog, but you know what? If that evokes faith in them, glory be to God. Glory be to God. That was a mother that was desperate for her daughter. And again departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of the Decapolis, of where the Gentiles are. And they brought him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they besought Jesus to put his hand upon him. Jesus took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and spit, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and said unto the man, "Ephrathah," that is, "be opened." And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. And he charged them that they should not tell any man what he had done, and that they should not publish it. Why? Because the big miracle is the cross. I remember when we were at the Espousal Retreat House having a wonderful retreat, and I remember this woman, we prayed with her ear. She was deaf in two ears, and we prayed with one ear, and she heard, and we prayed with the other ear, and she heard. And then she looked at me, you know, with the big question, "What am I to do with my hearing aids?" So I thought it'd be funny. I said, "Use them as relics." I was being funny. Well, when she went to work that day, her boss was deaf in one ear. And so she said, "I had healing in my ears. Can I say a prayer with you?" And so she prayed with him, and the ear opened. Then she said, "Kiss my relics." Scream. It's just too much. kissed my relic. He kissed the relics. The guy was healed. I'm telling you, God knows how to do things. He knows how to do things. If the Lord could use the dead body of Elisha to raise up a man, hallelujah, God can use even hearing aids to help people. God knows how to do things. People say, well, that's not scriptural. Well, I'll tell you, it's scriptural because it has to do with faith, F-A-I-T-H. We're going to look at the transfiguration. And he said unto them, no, we're going to look at Jesus in the transfiguration. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there were some here that shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart from themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Just before this, Peter says, Lord, you're not going to die. We want to take this show on the road. And Jesus said, you called me the Christ, and that was of God, but now you're doing the devil's work. And now he takes Peter, James, and John and brings them up a mountain. And his clothes became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so that no bleacher on earth could make them this white. And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. What are they talking about? About his departure, about his death. And I tell you, the Lord makes it sweet. He glorifies his son, and he tells his son, pretty soon you're going to have to die for the sins of the world, for the sins of the nations. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He said this because he was so afraid. He saw the glory of God on Jesus. He said, I want to do something that I know how to do. Let's build three tents. It was the Feast of Tabernacles in October. We'll build three tents. That's not what Jesus wanted. What happened? And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no man but Jesus alone. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man had been raised from the dead. So we see Jesus even keeps this secret, because the big thing is Jesus is going to die on a cross for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. So we continue now after with the transfiguration. This is another interesting one. And when he came down to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned with him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Jesus, they were greatly amazed. And they were running to him, and they saluted him. Everybody wants to touch Jesus. And you know what? It's touching Jesus that brings us healing. It's our faith that brings us healing as we touch Jesus. And he asked the disciples, the scribes, this question. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son who has a dumb spirit, and wherever he takes him, he tears him, he foams and gnashes with his teeth, he pines away. And I spake to his disciples, and your disciples could not cast him out. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So we see that Jesus' disciples could not cast out the demon. But Jesus says, he's exasperated. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And they brought him unto Jesus. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell to the ground, and he was foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long since this has come over him. And he said, as a child, and oftentimes had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Well, the faith came by bringing the guy to Jesus, bringing the kid to Jesus. Jesus said unto them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That's you too. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. When we pray with people on Saturday night, we pray in faith that it happen, and we see it happen in front of our eyes. It's wonderful. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, all things are possible, Lord, I believe. I received a letter from a woman who was going to commit suicide, and she said, Father Tom, you were praying in tongues on the television, the radio, and then I changed my mind. I decided that I didn't want to kill myself anymore. Only believe. You see, we do not know what happens in these broadcasts. Only believe that Jesus can do anything and everything. Only believe that he could heal the deaf and heal the blind and heal you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said in tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So he realized he believed, but he had unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you to come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast out this demon? And he said, this kind can only come forth by prayer and fasting. You see, the apostles and the disciples were powerless. This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not do anything there. For he taught the disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise from the dead. Again, he tells them that the imminent thing is that Jesus, he is going to die on a cross, and that he is going to rise from the dead. But they understood not the saying and were afraid to ask him. They understood not. It's plain English, but they don't want to understand. Have you ever been in denial? You know, things are happening in your life and you're just denying it. These apostles were in denial, and I'm not talking about the river. I'm talking about denial. They understood not what Jesus was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum. Being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves on the way? And they held their peace. For on the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Now, isn't this ridiculous? They're fighting about who should be the greatest, and Jesus becomes the servant of them all. And you see why Jesus has to die, that this part of humanity, this pride, has to be broken in the name of Jesus on the cross. Who is the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. They hadn't learned. They had been with Jesus almost 3 years, and yet they didn't learn that the servant was the one they were to become. They were to become servants as Jesus became the servant. And we see that par excellence in the 13th chapter of John when he washes their feet. And he took a child and set him in their midst. And when they had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whoever shall receive such children in my name receives me, and whoever shall receive me receives not me, but him who sent me. So Jesus says, unless you receive people like a child, unless you receive a child, you know, you receive me. And if you receive me, you receive him who sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw someone casting out demons, and they don't follow us. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle for in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. You know, this is a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of Catholics think that, like, Protestants aren't going to be in heaven, and a lot of Protestants think that Catholics are not going to be in heaven. So they have this big problem with heaven, really. They have this big problem. We're going to be the only ones in heaven. But you see, if you're not against Jesus, you're for Jesus. If you're not against Jesus, you're for Jesus. And this guy was casting out demons. And the apostle said, he doesn't belong to our group. Jesus said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. He that is not against us is on our side. For whoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, I say to you truly, he shall not lose his reward. Oh, how I love to give water to the disciples of Jesus. As I said when Sister Ruth was alive, how I love to carry her bags. Because if you carry the bags of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. And whoever shall offend one of these little ones, the children, that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Why? Because Jesus cared for the little children. And if your hand offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, into the fires that never shall be quenched. Is Jesus saying cut your hands off? No. He's saying it's better to have your hands cut off than to enter hell with your whole body. Jesus Christ isn't proclaiming cut your hands off. He's just making an example of you know, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better to enter into heaven with one eye than it is to enter into hell with two. He's saying, you know what? All these physical things are very important, but what's very important is the kingdom of heaven, that you enter the kingdom of heaven. And what should be happening is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if your hand offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than to have two hands going into hell, into the fires that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot offends you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life with one foot than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, unto the fires that never shall be quenched. Jesus is talking about the reality of hell. You know, hell is forever, and it is for people who do not give Jesus their life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Hell is for people who have not given their lives to Jesus. But you can simply give your life to Jesus today. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I give you my life. I give you my life. I've made a mess out of my life, but you can make something wonderful out of my life. I give you my life. I give you my life. All things are possible to those who believe. And so, we see Jesus talking about the last things. And then he says, where the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if salt loses its saltiness, wherewith will you season it with? Salt, you must have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another. You know, this peace with one another, you know, he's commenting on who's the greatest one. This is kind of sad, you know, with Jesus 3 years, and they're still saying, I want to be first. You know what? I don't care where I am, as long as I'm with Jesus. When I kick off into glory by the grace of God, I don't care where I am. I just want to be with Jesus. The only reason to die is to be with Jesus. But that happens on earth. If we are not with Jesus on earth, we are not going to be with Jesus when we die. It's as simple as that. All things are possible to those who believe. If we believe, all things are possible for those who believe. If we believe. And so Jesus says all these things to warn us. He doesn't want us chopping off our hands, and he doesn't want us chopping off our ears. He wants us so totally given ourselves to him that he is the Lord of our life. Father, we praise you and bless you for Jesus Christ. We praise you and bless you that Jesus gave his life for us. We praise you and bless you because Jesus is the Lord. Lord, we believe that when we go to heaven, we're going to see people we didn't think that were there. And we're going to see people not there that we thought were there. Lord, make our hearts right. Cleanse us from sin. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Cause us to give our whole life to you. We ask this in faith in the name of Jesus the Lord. I want to tell people about the School of the Holy Spirit. The School of the Holy Spirit will be from the 20th to the 26th of July at Holy Rosary in Winthrop, and you are welcome to come. You are welcome to be there with us. The School of the Holy Spirit. You can spend 1 day or the whole time or 2 days or whatever you want. This is a school so that we make an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to work in power. So if you were interested in this, you dial 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. And I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Praise God. Blessed be God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be his most sacred heart. Blessed be his most precious blood. Blessed be Jesus. Blessed be Jesus as sacrament. Blessed be Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be his most sacred heart. Blessed be his most precious blood. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.